Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine and
Halloween candy.
Come over October for some Halloween candy.
It's a good time to enjoy everything.
The culmination of come over October is come over and I'll give you some candy and some wine.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I know, it's Halloween this week, which is super fun. And thank you for bringing some pregame, literally pregame, football gummies.
Yeah.
Candy into the so it's football mix.
Yeah, football mix. There's little footballs. There's little, those hands, those foam hands kind of things that you know.
There's a trophy and a helmet, a jersey. And I really like this bag's not that big, but it's called Share Size.
It's trying to tell you, don't eat this all by yourself.
Yeah, that's like it's
you'll kind bounce off the walls.
It's kind of a warning.
I mean, I've had two and I'm feeling a little bouncy.
You've only had two?
Well, maybe four.
I'm like...
Maybe six.
I did check to see what a serving is so I could self-regulate.
What did it say?
Four.
But who decides that?
I have no idea. And is that four helmets? What if you get four footballs?
I mean, my mom's serving size would be half of one.
Oh.
No more sugar.
She's
kind of an anti-sugar person, so that's why.
That's no fun. No wonder you travel with football gummy bears
at all times.
Yeah. What else is over there? What else you got in your purse?
I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, it is appropriate that you have candy in studio today because it's Halloween this week, which is super fun. Do you dress up?
That's such a personal question.
For Halloween.
Halloween.
I'll put some frame around it.
Halloween. You know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Do you get trick-or-treaters?
God, no.
Yeah, we don't either.
No, we haven't had trick-or-treaters since we lived in downtown Kenwood.
Yeah, which is sort of then there's really no excuse to buy all the candy, which is a bummer.
Right. Well, we do sometimes go in, a friend that actually gets trick-or-treaters.
Oh, and go hang out.
We'll host, let's drink and eat together. Let's come over October.
I love that.
And then we take turns giving out the candy. And so that's an excuse to buy a lot because you don't know.
It's unpredictable.
Totally unpredictable. So, yeah. But I only really want the Reese's.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Maybe Snickers. Baby Snickers are good.
Oh, I always like the Three Musketeers.
Ooh.
And I like putting them in the freezer.
I would have liked you in my childhood
and
because
M&Ms.
I traded those.
Oh, really?
I was like always looking for people who would take those.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked those and M&Ms.
Well, M&Ms
peanut
are
regular,
good, too.
You know, I was all about the M&Ms. So, I mean, can you pair candy and wine?
Well, I think you have.
I mean, I have, and I do.
Yes, but, of course you can.
But are there any, do you have any strong recommendations for folks out there that are drinking age and are also going to be a part of Halloween and may have some Halloween candy?
Well, I mean, I think it's just my general pairing philosophy of drink what you like with
what you like
to eat.
That
goes with candy, too. I mean, I think it's obviously candy is tricky because there is such a high sugar content. So you don't want something super sweet wine wise with it. So, I mean, the answer 99% of the time is going to be bubbles.
Yeah, I was going to say sparkling really solves everything.
Sparkling solves everything with salty or sweet.
Yeah,
I think.
Although, you know, we did have a group of psalms in for the Healdsburg event months ago now, and we had them do a junk food, so salty, savory, sweet pairings with different wines, and one of the winners was Skittles and Sauv Blanc.
Yep.
And Skittles also very versatile, Sauv Blanc, not Skittles. Skittles are versatile, too.
Skittles are the
rainbow of colors. Yeah. Sauv Blanc, very versatile. Went very well with Cheetos.
Well, the interesting thing with Skittles is it's kind of tangy.
Yeah.
Right? They're not sicky sweet.
Yeah.
They're really sort of tart sweet, right? And sweet tarts are also.
There you go.
Tart and sweet. Do those even exist?
As described, sweet tarts are sweet and tart.
Do they even exist anymore?
I think they do.
Some of those candy brands are long gone.
I know.
Or you have to go to really specialized places to find them.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. It's so fun to walk into those stores and be like, all the good candies are there.
Yeah.
Well, but I do think it is fun to, like you said, sort of break all the rules or create your own rules when it comes to fun pairings. And we were discussing before we started the show that, you know, Sonoma County is awesome and that a lot of times you can go trick-or-treating. And if you're a parent or a guardian walking, you know, kids around, you might get a little splash of wine.
You very well might. And in some parts, you know, you might get it from a winery.
Yeah.
That has a tasting room maybe around the Healdsburg Square, Sonoma Square, who knows where. So that's fun too, because oftentimes people are just done with harvest or they're in the midst of harvest. And so why not celebrate?
Celebrate. Or just go to a friend's house and have wine and candy.
In costume or not.
Exactly.
All right. We'll be back soon on The Good Stuff. Are back on The Good Stuff. Joining us in studio today is our guest Andrew Smith. He is Ag Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures for Sonoma County. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Welcome, Andrew. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is an honor to be here.
Well, you say that now.
Yeah, you got like an hour to go, Andrew.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
So maybe we start at the beginning. How'd you get into this role? Like, where'd you grow up? Are you a Sonoma County guy?
Yeah, I am born and raised in Santa Rosa. I went to the Santa Rosa Junior College after high school and then transferred to a four-year university. And, you know, I don't think anybody that works in the agricultural commissioner system knows about it when they go to school, unless they have a family member in the system. And so I found out about it when my first summer back from college and was looking for a job, and they had insect trapper positions that were extra help county positions for summer insect trapping, which is one of our frontline defenses against invasive pests in the state of California.
And I didn't know. That was the first job you got with the Ag Commissioner's office?
Yeah.
You were an insect trapper.
Yeah. Yeah, the first three summers that I mean, while I was in school, I came back and worked as an insect trapper, and then in 2005, when I graduated from college, I was looking for jobs, and they had a full-time position that had just opened up at the department. I thought it was going to be an exercise in interviewing because there's, you know, far more people out there that have more experience, but they hired me, and the rest is history.
You must have done a good job trapping.
Yeah, I guess so.
Did they give you a truck and a uniform?
Yeah, they give you a lot of autonomy. We provide our insect trappers with a vehicle, and they have their own trapping routes in the county, and they trap square mile grids for the presence of exotic fruit fly pests and a few other pests, and then that's how we keep them out of the county. And that program is intended to, you know, identify if we have an issue before it becomes an issue.
Yeah. So, but Andrew, go back pre-insect trapping. I mean, did you always have a love of agriculture? I mean, growing up here, or what kind of, you know, how does one even look for a job at an ag commissioner's office?
Well, I you know, when I was growing up, my brothers and I loved to be in the garden with my mom and dad, and we loved the landscaping chores as opposed to like mopping and sweeping and garbage and things like that.
Yep.
And so we all liked being outdoors and also loved messing around in the dirt. And I have one brother that became an archaeologist, and I kind of went the ag route and really liked horticulture in high school, as many kids do. And then I was looking for something to do after high school, and I took an ag class at the JC that was like an introduction to agriculture, and I was like, where's this been my whole life? This is fantastic.
Wow. So it just clicked.
Yeah, it did.
And we've mentioned the Santa Rosa Junior College often on the show, as we have winemakers and growers and, you know, just even owners that come through the show who have taken classes there. What a valuable resource that is in our community to teach young kids about viticulture and agriculture and winemaking and all sorts of things that they can connect directly back to jobs here in the community.
Yeah, and sustainable agriculture too. I really appreciate having the opportunity to have for a number of years sat on the Santa Rosa Junior College Foundation committee. And then also the advisory committee for the faculty, which is really great to be able to give back and kind of help chart the success of the department moving forward.
So as an insect trapper, you probably got to see a lot of Sonoma County.
Yes.
Did you get to meet a lot of the farmers and growers in that role, or was that kind of a little more behind the scenes?
I think it's a little bit more behind the scenes. I really had the opportunity to start meeting most of the growers that I'm still friends with today through my work with the Crop Report as an ag inspector. But I'll tell you this, as an insect trapper, growing up in Sonoma County, it's amazing to find out that you don't know much about the roads and the back roads and the hinterlands of the county.
Take a left at the red barn.
Yeah.
Where there's a yellow sign on the right.
Yeah,
exactly. True.
What do you mean? Yeah, so it's very clear.
Yeah. So I learned a lot about the topography and the county and being a trapper and explored places I never would have if I wasn't a trapper. So.
Yeah. So you go back and what's the first, so your first role, full-time role, then what did all that entail?
Well, usually we start folks out in the department in exclusion, meaning that they go to the high-risk shipping point inspections at FedEx and UPS, and they intercept packages of agricultural materials and horticultural materials and inspect those for the presence of pests. And
you're like an ag spy.
Yeah. Yeah, an investigator.
That's wild. Yeah, that is wild.
And we open packages and, you know, people that ship fruits and vegetables all around the world, and a lot of people like to order stuff online. E-commerce is growing.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that those plants and fruits and vegetables meet the import requirements of the country and specifically the quarantine requirements of the state of California, because we're so agriculturally diverse. We have to protect all that agriculture.
So what are some of the things that are excluded?
Soil from other states and other countries. They may have pests that and plant diseases that are, you know, inhabit the soil, and so we have to prevent those from entry, as well as tropical fruits and vegetables that need to meet specific requirements. Maybe they need to be treated before they enter the country or the state. Or maybe certain commodities aren't even allowed entry because they pose such a risk to California and Sonoma County agriculture.
Yeah, super important role that a lot of people don't know much about.
No, I think it's kind of fascinating. I mean, what's the strangest thing that you've ever inspected?
I once found a firearm inside a Harry and David box.
Stop.
Yeah. But
like, there's no pears in here.
No pears.
Is that a special order?
I guess it must have been. It turns out it was like a police officer and his son, you know, exchanging gifts through the. But we looked at the package because it said it was fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't anticipate that.
Whoa.
We found a lot of different things. Snakes.
Yeah. I kept thinking
tropical
snakes.
Fish. Mm. Yeah, and then fruits. And vegetables that are basically backyard produce from other states and other countries, Southern California, Florida, those kind of places. You have people grow stuff in their backyard, and they think, I'm just going to send it to my friend. Mm. They came to visit, and they wanted to eat some of those, but they don't know that they could be shipping things that are harboring pests. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So does this sort of role exist in every state to some degree, but California takes it maybe the most seriously because of the extent of our industry?
I think there's a few states that take it as seriously as California does, and those are, you know, really agriculturally diverse states like Florida, California, Texas to a certain degree, Pennsylvania. Every state in the union has a Department of Agriculture. But California is unique. In 1881, there was a legislative act to create this system. And at the time, they were called horticultural commissioners. The state was growing. The population was growing so rapidly. People were coming from all over the world to bringing agricultural goods with them to grow and create farms here. And the state legislature in the 1880s decided, you know what, we need to protect this and kind of establish an ag industry. And so let's establish the horticultural commissioners. And fast forward about 40 years, we were changed in the late 1920s to the agricultural commissioners, because we were then going to be contracted to do work under the newly formed California Department of Food and Agriculture.
Fascinating.
I know.
It's interesting a wealth of information.
Yeah. Is there, I mean, with wine grapes in particular, is that something that you have to be, you know, especially careful about, just because, you know, there are suitcase clones, people bring in things from other wine regions, and California has to be so careful about diseases and phylloxera and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you look back in history, you can definitely see how the wine grape industry was nearly wiped out in California and rebuilt. And, you know, I think the, you know, the challenge of Paris in, I want to say 1976, really put, you know, Sonoma and Napa County on the map for quality wines. And you could see the evolution of the crop just explode in acreage and tonnage thereafter. And in that, you know, you need to protect your agricultural industry. So specifically Glassy Wing Sharpshooter in the 90s and early 2000s, we needed to establish a system to protect wine grapes from that pest, which had established itself in Temecula in southern portion of the state. So every plant shipment that comes, nursery shipment that comes to your big box store or your mom and pop nursery gets inspected for the presence of Glassy Wing Sharpshooter egg masses or life stages to protect our wine grape industry, because that particular pest is so effective at transmitting Pierce's disease. And then there's also issues with vine mealybug, which has, you know, established itself in certain places. And so we regularly inspect green growing grapevines that are going to be planted in Sonoma County for the presence of that pest or other pests, general pests that we don't need, you know, becoming a problem in vineyards here.
It's a lot of work. It's incredible. Yeah.
And then keep talking, because you started to talk about the crop report, which is really how I first met you when you were at the Ag Commissioner's office, and I started working at Sonoma County Wine Growers because, you know, we were trading stories and pictures and then showing up the supervisors, the Board of Supervisors meeting, and supporting the announcement and release of the crop report every year. But that's a huge undertaking and a really, really valuable resource for all farmers and sort of the community as well. So what is even a crop report, and kind of what's the Ag Commissioner's role in that?
So again, historically, every county was asked through regulation to be aware of, knowledgeable of, and report on the agricultural commodities grown in that area and their relative value, production value. And that really allows us to show what the contribution of agriculture is to our community and our economy locally. And it's almost become a year-round project. Yeah. It's kind of like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You finish painting, and then you got to start again.
The other side.
Yeah, yeah. And so we generally have a small break, but we usually do some debriefing and kind of try to see what kind of innovations we want to make and how we're surveying people or how we can get more participation. And so we start doing that in November, December, getting the surveys ready to go out. And then everybody's got to get their surveys in by the end of March. And then we work diligently. We have really great staff in our department. You know, we're a small department in the county of Sonoma. We have 38 staff, but we're mighty. And we have a lot of really great, really talented, well-trained staff. And it's a team of two that work on the crop report, plus some support from admin on formatting, remediation, getting ready for posting on the web. But it's been – I worked on the crop report kind of solo for almost 10 years. You know, it was a – that's a great way. If you're ever going to be in the Ag Commissioner system, or you're ever a young person looking to find out about agriculture in your region, it's going to be – a great resource to use a crop report.
Right.
I use them often.
Yeah. Yes.
I find them fascinating.
Well, and I love that on your website, you have them dated back to the 20s. Am I going to get that right?
1928.
I was going to say, I'm trying to pull the first one, but it was like late 20s.
That's, yeah, you got it.
Which good is memory. Amazing. Because like you said, it's such a wealth of information. I use them all the time as well. And just great to show that history. And I send people to that site all to really learn. To your point, so
it's such a glimpse into what's happening here.
I mean,
you can, especially if you take a few of them at a time, you know, and you look at, oh, okay, well, grapes were very little at this point, and then all of a sudden they started to rise. They kept rising, you know, and now you look at the last 20, 30 years. It's like, a story about wine grapes.
Yeah, you combine the crop report with some sleuthing around the public library or the museum, and you can really start to put a story together about the history of agriculture in Sonoma County and see how things change. When you see pictures from like West Side Road heading into Healdsburg, and you're looking at, you know, prune orchards, and you know, hops before that, and you know, we have many, many decades left of really great wine production in Sonoma County. You know, it's definitely,
I hope so.
Yeah. Certainly hope so.
Right?
Okay, yeah. we're gonna take a quick break and come back to talk more with Andrew Smith. Good stuff with our guest, Andrew Smith, Ag Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures for Sonoma County. And we were talking about the importance and the richness that the crop report delivers for anybody who's interested in what's happening with agriculture here. Let's talk a little bit about like kind of what you've observed in your role of, you know, seeing what the crop report tells us. And then specifically, let's talk about the 2023 crop report and some of the numbers that came out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. It's a snapshot in time. And to tell the story, you really need to kind of put a couple of crop reports next to each other.
Yeah.
Or look at what else is going on in the economy at the time. 'Cause it's all relative, but it helps us tell a story over time about the evolution and the viability and sustainability of agriculture in Sonoma County. You know, the 2023 crop report, I would say that we saw an increase in tonnage in wine grapes that mm-hmm. I don't think we saw
expected.
Coming. Yeah, exactly.
It was a surprise.
It started out cool. We had a lot mm-hmm. of water, mm-hmm. a lot of recharge, and cooler temperatures right into the mm-hmm. growing season and into, yeah. you know, people were worried about the sugars building and the acids
started
building.
Late. We started harvest relatively late.
I think it was one of the latest harvests.
I mean, well
on
into September.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw 5 tons per acre in white wine grapes, I think is what the average was. And then I think it was closer to 3.9 or 4 tons per acre for the red varietals, which, you know, that's good.
It's
that's
substantial.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Healthy.
And I think that's what led to more so to the increase in the value of wine grapes.
Yeah.
Because I think prices were pretty stable, if not starting to drop a little bit.
Well, in last year's crop report, the pricing was still really good. So last year, because the average was over $2,900 per ton, I think, which is the first time I'd seen that pricing in my 12 years here. So I didn't go back further than my knowledge, my personal experience there. So that was great. But I think, you know, because of that surplus tonnage, at least coming into this vintage, you know, a lot of the wineries had plenty of supply. You know, they were willing to take the extra tonnage last year. And this year, it's kind of like we're still working through that. And, you know, market dynamics and tourism, frankly, I think not as many people coming to Sonoma County as we sort of historically see. So a lot of factors playing out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we see in our work that, you know, milk and livestock products still remain really strong. And we have a really vibrant nursery industry in mm-hmm. our county. Mm-hmm. It's really quite cool to see because nursery crops are really kind of our, outside of wine grapes mm-hmm. and milk and livestock products, nursery are our next big thing.
And people don't really think about that.
No, they don't. Yeah. But we have a lot of, you know, we have a varied landscape. We have a lot of folks that love horticulture in this county. And we have a large number of wholesale and retail nurseries compared to other counties of the same or even a larger size. And I think one of the biggest assets to Sonoma County agriculture is we have a really, for our size of our county and our population, we have a lot of diversified vegetable growers, and they're mm-hmm. more market garden size, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of direct-to-consumer marketing through the farmers markets, through community-supported agriculture, mm-hmm. subscription boxes, mm-hmm. and then sales to restaurants. And we have, you know, 24 farmers markets, certified farmers markets operating at 20 locations in the county, many of them year-round.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
You know.
It's such a gift.
And you're able to track, like, even the individual sort of the people that are growing things in their...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody that wants to sell something at a certified farmers market has to grow it themselves. You can't buy and resell.
Yep.
Those laws were created in the late 70s to support people that didn't have that scale to be able to standard pack 24 heads of lettuce to a box, which is the standard pack for lettuce. And they wanted to be able to direct market to consumers and capture more of the value of the production of that commodity. Mm-hmm. And so the certified farmers market regulations came into effect. And mm-hmm. Our county has really benefited because it really lends itself well to food security. And, you know, now that it's been integrated with a lot of the, you know, EBT and other safety net support services mm-hmm. for food security for our populations, it's really a boon.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's great. And it's also fun to go into our local supermarkets and have local food.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually see farmers' names on some of the produce. And,
you know, I've always said, you know, the food's got to come from somewhere. Shouldn't as much of it as possible come from this county?
Yes.
Yeah.
That and gummy bears from... wherever they're made.
They're not. I don't think those are not local.
Those are not local.
They're locally enjoyed.
Yeah. But they're a mainstay.
Yes.
Especially around holidays like Halloween.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, yes.
That's our M&Ms.
Sometimes and, you have to as venture out a little bit.
Three Musketeers, my favorite. So, I mean, you're now in this big role that you've been doing for about 5 years as our Ag Commissioner. So thank you on behalf of all the farmers in Sonoma County community. That is a huge job. Talk a little bit more. I mean, you kind of talked about kind of how you started, but like now that you have oversight over everything, like, you know, what do your days look like? I'm sure no two are the same.
I think no two are the same. And I think that's something that is really appealing mm-hmm. as a career in the Ag Commissioner system, because whether you're an Ag Inspector or Weights and Measures Inspector, there's so much variety and diversity in the work that you do that no 2 days are exactly the same. And I think that's something that our staff really appreciate. And, mm-hmm. you know, anybody who is doing an agricultural or a general sciences degree right now in school and is looking for a rewarding career in public service that is fulfilling, complex, and good compensation, should consider an opportunity in Department of Ag Weights and Measures in any county in the state.
Yeah.
So do you hang out with ag commissioners from other counties and you're like, I've got wine grapes, what do you got?
Yeah, we do.
I feel like I feel like it's competitive. I kind of like this idea
I think you
of
win.
Like, we
I
have better ag
win.
Than you do. Yeah.
Well,
is there such a thing?
Maybe competition is a little bit of it, but more so gamification. Like, what are you guys doing over there? How are you gathering this information? What systems are you using? And so there's a lot of sharing, and there's a lot of appreciation for each other from county to county because, you know, we all do the same thing in the state, foundationally speaking, but we all do it a little bit differently given our agricultural climate, given the culture and politics of the county or the mm-hmm. region of the state that we're operating in. And we gather twice a year formally at a fall conference and a spring conference and, do the, you know, the sausage making and work with our state agency partners in the California Department mm-hmm. of Food and Agriculture and the Department of Pesticide Regulations.
So I do kind of picture that you guys are like betting on, you know, games and stuff, and someone's like, I'll give you carrots if you win. And you're like, I've got wine. And they're like, yes, that's way better.
Yeah, do people just kind of like hang out with you as much as they can because they think, well, you might have wine in the room?
Well, I do think that when there's a conference that the expectation is the people that come from the wine producing counties bring wine to the conference. And so I do my best to to support
the region, the region. And the farmers. And the farmers here.
Yeah.
Well, we very, very much appreciate that. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if like the one thing that maybe across counties people are dealing with is just the loss of agriculture. Is that sort of a unifying concern?
Yeah. And I maybe wouldn't say as much the loss of agriculture, but the pressures on agriculture. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk to farmers and they say it's death by a thousand cuts, that really means something. And, you know, you're talking about an industry that is subject to Mother Nature, the market, the economy, and then, you know, a whole bunch of other factors, including regulations that cost them money. And so we do our best to help educate our growers and to do as much education and outreach when things change in order to put them in the best position to be successful.
Well, we have to take another break. We will come back soon with our guest, Andrew Smith. On the Good Stuff with our guest, Andrew Smith, Ag Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures for Sonoma County. But you also have a new thing that is happening. You were recently accepted into the California Ag Leadership Program. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I've wanted to do that.
Huge congratulations. It's a big deal. Yeah, really big deal.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to do that for about 10 years. I applied for the program back in 2015 and 2016 and, you know, didn't get accepted, but I wasn't ready then, you know, in hindsight, and needed to do a lot more work on the self. But the California Ag Leadership Foundation is a nonprofit focused on developing agricultural leaders to support a vibrant and sustainable future for agriculture in the state of California. You know, if you are accepted into that program, you become one of about 1,300 people that have been through the program over the last 54 classes. Wow. The first class was in 1970.
Amazing.
And it's become one of the preeminent leadership programs in California, as it's, you know, focused primarily on agriculture. But it's less about agriculture during the program and more about self-awareness, emotional intelligence, you know, communication, and really trying to understand other people's perspectives. And so there's a lot of opportunity to grow. And I'm really hoping to be able to learn a bit more about myself and my communication tendencies. They asked me in the interview, you know, what's one thing you want to work on? I think listening, becoming a better listener, not just at work, but at home. I think there's opportunity to grow in, you know, being an empathetic leader and being able to navigate real complex issues that face not just agriculture, but our communities in general. So I'm over the moon excited about participating in this program and just feel so humbled by the opportunity to do it. So,
well, I think it's so well deserved. And I mean, I just said thank you earlier, but Andrew also has played an important role. He does come to our board meetings every month and shares what's going on. And it's a great way to connect our board of sort of farmer leaders around Sonoma County, at least in the wine grape industry, to what's going on and new regulations or changes in permitting or just new pests that they need to be on the lookout for, or importantly, a recycling day opportunity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do all sorts of stuff. And you've also been a great partner in our foundation's Leadership Academy, where you've come and presented through all three classes about your role and about agriculture more broadly in Sonoma County, and even I think brought them all a leadership book in Spanish, which was incredibly wonderful.
Very thoughtful.
So,
I hope to be able to continue to do that. I mean, that's one of the highlights of my year that is related, but not exactly directly related to the, you know, enforcement of regulations. but is definitely related to building success in agriculture, building success in our community, and you know, helping you know, grow leaders in our county, especially in agriculture. And you know, we've used the crop report as a vehicle for talking about, you know, what it's not just wine grapes in this county. We have a lot of diversity. And also, you know, I just really appreciate the opportunity to work with the wine growers and to support the Leadership Academy, because I plan on doing that. You know, even if you want,
I've already signed you up. So, okay, cool. Dates forthcoming.
I'm just gonna get invited to a lot of things.
No, and I think that'll be really interesting, even for maybe you to be more involved, so you can share some of the learnings you're getting from the California Ag Leadership Program, kind of as you're going through that. So, because I think there's really great sort of feedback that will happen there too.
Yeah, I want to bring everything back that I can, not just to my department and the county and my family, but also to the industry groups that we have here in the county. And you know, it's good when we all get to succeed and grow from each individual's experiences.
Absolutely. So we have one question left for you, but we're going to take a quick break and come back and ask it.
All right.
Return. On the good stuff to wrap things up with our guest Andrew Smith. So Andrew, just quickly in the time we have remaining, can you tell us one aspect of your job that might surprise people who aren't familiar with the role of an ag commissioner?
Oh, that's an easy one. It's our weights and measures work. Excuse me. We protect consumers and we create a level playing field in commerce for businesses. Through our weights and measures enforcement of laws and regulations, as well as our outreach. This work is crucial and integral to a healthy community and economy, and it's nearly invisible. Throughout the Ag Commissioner system in the state, we talk about weights and measures being the most important thing that nobody knows about. Because it's kind of, we're there in the stores, we're checking the net contents of packaging, we're filling standards up with gasoline to verify that when you go buy a gallon of gas at the pump, that you get a gallon of gas. And in the future, we'll be testing electric vehicle charging stations to make sure when you buy a kilowatt hour that you get a kilowatt hour.
Well, I thank you for that. Thank you for that as an EV, frustrated EV owner.
Yeah, well, if you've, if you've heard about the recent settlement with Home Depot this past month, that you'll notice that weights and measures work goes into ensuring that the customer is afforded the lowest advertised price.
Oh, wow.
And so we work really hard. We're out there every day doing inspections at retail to and verifying the accuracy of weighing and measuring devices. So.
Well, thank you for that.
That was a surprise.
Amazing. That is surprising.
So we should drink some good stuff wine for that, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Virginie, what's your Tuesday night wine?
Well, I think I'm going to go, you know, nice weather this time of year, the fall leaves, everything. I'm going with a Beltane Ranch Sauvignon Blanc 2023.
Nice. Well done. I'll come over for that. Andrew, should we come over to your house? What are you drinking?
Well, we just, every time we go to the grocery store, we buy a replacement bottle of the Bloodroot, which is a Sonoma County Pinot Noir. I don't know exactly which vineyards it's sourced from, but it's a very nice Pinot.
I love that.
We're continuing to drink it.
We like
especially
that you have
around Halloween. Blood.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. It's very appropriate. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to round us out with a Davis Bynum Dutton Ranch Pinot Noir.
All right, and I'll bring the candy.
I love that. Please.
Cheers.
All right, cheers from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.